Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
The talk that I'm going to give this morning, which is on case 20 in the Book of Equanimity, I manage to give this talk at least once a year. And it's about a koan that I love dearly. It's very important to me and my practice, particularly what it points toward. So it just felt like time to give another incarnation to this talk. In the practice of Zen, I know a lot of you are new to practice. In the practice of Zen, there's a number of different traditions. There's the Rinzai tradition and the Soto tradition. Those are the two basic shoots that you go down if you come into Zen practice. And in the Soto tradition, practice is shikantaza, which means just sitting. In the pure Soto school, they don't use koans. And in the Rinzai tradition, we use koans. And koans, I'll say a little bit more about this in my talk, but basically they're designed to stop the activity of the mind, to help you still your mind. And then in some traditions, like the White Plum tradition, which I'm a part of, there's a blending of the two, depending upon the temperament of the student. So it's not, White Plum tradition is not all koans, it's not all shikantaza, it's sort of a mixture of the two. So as I said, my talk this morning is based on a koan found in the Book of Equanimity. It's the first book we start to study koans in our lineage. It's one of several books of koans that students use as a part of their practice. And as I said, koans are typically short stories or dialogues that are used to prompt the student to have a fresh experience of reality, not clouded by habit or by preconception. And this term koan, K-O-A-N, literally means public case. And case 20, the case that I just referred to in the Book of Equanimity, reads as follows. Zen Master Jizo asked Hogen, "Where are you going?" And Hogen answers him and says, "I'm on a pilgrimage." And Jizo asks, "Well, what's the purpose of your pilgrimage?" And Hogen answers famously, "I do not know." To which Jizo says, "Not knowing is most intimate." Now, many teachers have made this one phrase, Jizo's phrase, "Not knowing is most intimate," the heart of their teaching. In this koan, Jizo is not just asking Hogen about a pilgrimage, but he's asking him about life itself. What do you know about life itself? What is its purpose? Why are we born? Why do we die? Why is our life so difficult? And Hogen answers simply and directly, "I do not know." When we don't know, our mind has no obstructions. We are in direct relationship with everything that is. There is no separation in do not know. I don't remember the teacher's name. It might have been Sun San Nim. Had a student that was troubled by something. And Sun San Nim reminded him, "Keep your don't know mind. Don't lose your don't know mind." So as I said, when we don't know, our mind has no obstructions. We are in direct relationship with everything that is, and there is no separation. One of Japan's greatest Zen teachers and poets, Ryokan, said, "Look around. There is nothing besides this, just this. Everything else is an illusion. It's a fantasy. There is no past. There is no tomorrow. That's the activity of the mind." As soon as we impose meaning or explanation, we are, as we say in Zen, placing a head above our own. To see reality clearly, we must suspend everything we think we know. 14th century Zen master Basui tells us, "Look directly, without preconception. And if you look in this manner, you will not be fooled." We are usually fooled when we are lost in our own preconceptions and our own projections. Jizo's not knowing, by the way, is not the opposite of knowing. It is both knowing and not knowing at the same time, and at the same time beyond knowing and not knowing. And that's because it is free of all categorization. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "All thoughts of a turtle are turtle." This means that when we are attached to our preconceptions will be all that we see. If we surrender to not knowing, we will have a different experience. We will be free to be surprised, free to listen, free to respond as needed, or free to do nothing at all, if that's what is called for. Imagine your partner, your spouse, kept a don't-know mind. They did not deal with you from their preconceptions about who you are in any particular moment. Imagine what that would do to your relationship. Imagine if parents and children did not hold to preconceptions about each other. Imagine how that might transform their relationship. Imagine if we did not hold to preconceptions about the world around us, how that might transform our relationship to the world. Gertrude Stein said, in very Zen-like fashion, "There ain't no answer. There ain't never gonna be no answer. There never has been an answer. And that is the answer." If we go back to case 20, we will remember that Master Jizo connected not knowing with intimacy. What does a not knowing have to do with intimacy? In order to answer this question, we must look more closely at how our mind functions. The mind that knows is the mind that names things. It is the mind that identifies this as a sweater, this as a floor, that out there as a window. The mind that identifies one person as a man, another as a woman, and so forth. This same mind also categorizes the things that it names. Floors, windows, doors are part of a building. Certain people, based on their characteristics, are friends. Others are enemies. The mind does this to everything that comes into its awareness. This process of naming and categorizing creates the experience of a world that is made up of discrete parts, each separate and distinct from each other. The consequence of this is as profound as it is subtle. We feel alone and alienated from each other and from the world around us because of this process. This practice that we do every Sunday and during the week as well, this practice which we call Zen practice, is the counterbalance to this way of experiencing the world. The practice of Zazen, Zen meditation, eventually stills the knowing mind. And in that moment of stillness, the mind is empty of names and categories, and we realize a deeply intimate connection with everything. And that intimate connection is the direct experience of true intimacy. We realize that separate and discrete is an illusion created by the mind. And when we have this experience, we name it. We name it enlightenment, or kensho, or insight, transcendence. I prefer to say that we become intimate, because intimate conveys the sense that our relationship with everything is getting deeper, closer, more loving. The word intimate expresses what the experience actually feels like in our body and mind. Zen Master Dogen expressed the essence of intimacy when he said, "We should handle each grain of rice as if we were handling our own eyes." If we are truly intimate, this is the way we should relate to everything, including each other, relating with the loving tenderness that everything is our own eyes. We say in Zen, if you don't hear the pots crying out in pain when you bang them together in the kitchen, your Zazen your meditation is not deep enough. At its heart, then, Zen is about intimacy. Intimacy with self, with others, with life as it is. So when we sit, when we meditate, we should sit in the simplest and most direct way. Sit in the space before knowing arises. Not sitting to gain something or to come to some understanding. Sitting when we are truly intimate. There is no idea of intimacy. Just sitting, pouring it out. Keep emptying the mind of these concepts. Thank you.